technology coming up in this next year. From where you sit, you're in a technology firm, Higher Ground's a technology firm. What role do you think technology is going to have in involving our and enhancing, actually, our supplier diversity programs this next year?
I think it'll be as these teams, as we just said, these teams are getting cut down to one or two people, these larger teams. Technology allows you to do more with less. I think what you'll see is more teams leaning on technology to be that extra body, if you will, that was eliminated, and being able to make sure that you're meeting the compliance goals and the reporting goals. You're going to need technology so that you can do it at speed.
Welcome to Breaking Barriers, Building a Higher Ground, where we talk about supply chain inclusion and supplier diversity with everyone from academics, historians, and business leaders. With your hosts, Chloe Guidry-Reed and Adam Moore, you'll hear inspiring stories and practical tips for overcoming challenges and gaining insight into supply chain inclusion and supplier diversity. Let's dive in. This episode is brought to you by Higher Ground. Higher Ground is a technology company whose mission is to bridge the wealth gap through access to procurement opportunities. Higher Ground is making the enterprise ecosystem more viable, profitable, and competitive by clearing the path for minority-led, women-led, LGBT-led, and veteran-led small businesses to contribute to the global economy as suppliers to enterprise organizations. For more information on getting started, please visit us at higherground.io. That's HIREGROUND.IO. Now on to the episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Breaking Barriers, Building a Higher Ground. I'm Adam Moore alongside Chloe Guidry-Reed. And in the world of supplier diversity, as you all know, it is rapidly evolving, presenting new challenges and opportunities. Today, though, we're going to delve into the future of supplier diversity, exploring what 2024 may hold for us in this very vital sector. Let's discuss and dissect trends, expectations, and innovations that could shape the landscape of supplier diversity in the coming year. Join us as Chloe and I sit down and talk through, maybe unravel, the potential future of this dynamic field. Chloe, it's so good to be just the two of us today in studio.
I know. Oftentimes we don't get a lot of this one-on-one.
I know. I love it. So first and foremost, I know this is one of our first episodes for 2024. So happy new year to you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. So glad to be here. So very glad to be here. So 2024, yes. Right? So always January is, so what is the new year going to hold? I know for those of us in corporate America, this is the, do I finally get my budget money period, kicking off the new projects, type of things. Let's talk about some of the emerging trends maybe that we're seeing or foresee in supplier diversity that businesses should really be preparing themselves for or thinking about as they move forward in this year?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. And I think when we think about emerging trends and really what's been driving them, I think a huge driver of this is economic conditions, but also the Supreme Court ruling and then the fallout from that. And, you know, all of this news around DE&I and the resistance around it, I think, is also making a lot of corporations reevaluate their diversity, equity, and inclusion, which in some cases involves supplier diversity as well. So the emerging trends, I think, are being highly impacted by what's going on from a regulatory standpoint.
Yeah. And it's a disappointing thing to see. And this is not everybody, right? There are some firms out there that are like, to heck with it. We are still standing by, you know, what we've said, that is truly who we are. Our DE&I is truly part of our DNA, and they're sticking to it. And hats off to them. And thank you guys for being such staunch supporters. What's disappointing is to see the companies, though, that are prizing the dollar above the social good that DE&I can do. And that's a very disappointing trend, I'd have to say, to see come out. And something we're going to have to sit down and have harder conversations over, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think harder conversations. And as we reflect back on our last episode of the year, last year, this was one of the things that we brought up in terms of it's going to be a shift in the roles of supplier diversity practitioners, and it needs to become more of a strategic role. And when you think about just cost cutting, you know, how do you make sure that the supplier diversity program is in line with business goals and business objectives? Right. Because when you focused on that, then you're not the first team or business unit inside the organization to get looked at to be cut.
Yeah. And it goes back to, we've said this in episodes past, if you're not positioning your team, your supplier diversity team, as a potential revenue generator, you're really not doing a good job promoting the team, right? In all honesty, that might sound like a harsh statement, but it's true. And this is something we've said, is that we, as a supplier diversity leads, have to be able to demonstrate how supplier diversity does more than just go look for niche or diverse suppliers that people may not be aware of. They need to show how they can actually be business drivers as well, too. And I think we're starting to see the outcome, or maybe the fallout, of that not being done as much as it should have been.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's with any team. And over these years, you've seen that with everyone, marketing, with sales. What is the impact of the work that you're doing and the dollars that we're putting behind it? And I think for the most part, supplier diversity had been left alone. But now everyone is looking at everything.
I completely agree. And I think, and let's be fair, we try to be a 360 kind of view on this show, right? The economic downturn, and not true recession yet, but a downturn, has definitely shown that companies had to tighten their belts, right? And if you had not been one of those groups that showed where you're helping add value, it made it an easy call, right? And so, again, it comes back to educating our supplier diversity management teams to understand they're more than just a pipelining organization, right? Or relationship building organization. Yes, that is probably 80% of your job, but you know, you have to be able to show value back to the firm too. Oh, not an easy trend. Yeah, not an easy trend. Some of the other trends that I'm starting to see too is with supply chain, right? There's a lot of opportunity in supply chain. There seems to be looking at more onshore suppliers, right? You start looking, I don't know if you've been reading about China and their economy, but you know, a lot of our established offshore, especially Eastern countries that we've really relied on, that seems to be drying up a little bit. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for onshore manufacturing that is going to be coming up here in the near term. I don't know so much in the electronics market, but in the hard goods area, there definitely seems to be an uptick in the need there.
Yeah, definitely. Which also means prices, inflation is going to go up as well. So that's definitely something as a result. But on the flip side of that, I think when we talk about American ingenuity and tax revenues and making sure that our economic position is strong,
right,
bringing things onshore is the best way to do that.
Oh, I completely agree with you. It's probably time for this pendulum to swing back this way.
Yes.
I also was reading earlier that the Fed is not going to raise the rate this next time around. It's going to freeze, with the potential of it coming down closer to the summer. So I think we're going to start seeing some buying markers come back. That should be very positive for us. So that should be interesting. I think the other thing, let's just call it out. It's an election year. Let's just all shake our heads. I don't care what party number name you have behind you right now. It's an election year. And we all know what happens in election year, regardless of the candidates. Yeah. It's not a good time for the market. There's
never
a lot of volatility, and the volatility will pick up Q2, Q3. So I think we got to be prepared for that. If we're savvy leaders, we just have to sit there and go, we could be having some storms ahead of us. Be prepared.
Yeah, you're right. And to that regard, I think companies tend to just hold steady, not moving any one way until after the election.
It reminds me of, in a previous life, I used to be a police officer, and we used to tell people, actually, the worst thing you can do when you know a crash is coming is stiffen your body up and brace for the impact. And I think that's what our business owners do. They just brace for the impact instead of just being loose and going with the flow. It's when you're loose and you're going with the flow, you don't absorb so much energy. You don't get hurt as badly. The same thing applies here. We know the impact is coming. We know the accident is going to occur. So don't stiffen up and say, we're just going to gut our way through it. But how do I kind of loosen some things up? How do I be loose going into this so that, it's not going to be pleasant, but I won't sustain as much economic or financial hurt going into it. Some things we need to start thinking about.
Absolutely. And when we think about supplier diversity teams, I think partnering with other teams who have similar goals and objectives for the organization, whether that be corporate social responsibility, whether it be ESG and sustainability teams, those are the ones that I think that really can help with, number one, capacity at right. the lowest level, but also making sure that the collective story from inside the organization is, number one, similar and consistent across the organization, internally and externally, but also just making sure that you have allies so that whoever has a seat at the table can tell the story in the same way and be right. advocating for the various initiatives
yeah.
around environmental, social, and governance issues.
Yeah, totally. I completely agree. And then that kind of moves us into a little bit. Both of us are tech nerds. Technology coming up in this next year, right? What, from where you sit, you're in a technology firm, Higher Ground's a technology firm. What role do you think technology is going to have in involving our and enhancing, actually, our supplier diversity programs this next year?
I think it'll be as these teams, as we just said, these teams are getting cut down to one or two people, these larger teams. Technology allows you to do more with less. I think what you'll see is more teams leaning on technology to be that extra body, if you will, that right. was eliminated, and being able to make sure that you're meeting the compliance goals and the reporting goals. You're going to need technology so that you can do it at speed. And a lot of technology that I've seen more as of late, utilizing AI to just help you with the sourcing pieces, helping you with the governance pieces, helping you with project requirements, all of these various things. And people who are slow adopters, I think this is the time to really start to embrace it. And it's the time to really start to understand it as best you can and start thinking about how you are going to adopt it and leverage right. it inside of your organization.
And instead of treating it like some scary beast that's out there that you can't tame, it's like, how do I actually bring it in here? And all the corporations are looking at it. The AI influx into sourcing has been mind-blowing for me personally on the corporate sourcing side of all of this. We're looking at AI to help us do things like vendor research, vendor rationalization, RFP composition. They're looking at it for doing contracting. So it's doing a lot of risk-based analysis for us. And I think that is absolutely fascinating. And what it does is it allows us to do more tactical thinking and to be more intentional in what we're doing in sourcing instead of having to be so reactionary. So I think a lot of our diverse firms have to realize this is coming. And to your point, how do you use it as that 10th man on your roster? And what value can they bring? And where can that help take some pressure off to allow your teams to do other things, allow you to do other things as the business owner, where you're not having to do so much? So it's one of those tools that is only going to be as good as you execute it. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize is AI is still at the end of the day an algorithm, right? So it's still at its very core, a arithmetic function. So algorithmic. So you've got to realize that if you're going to use something like that, you better have the resources to put it together. And it's not and in that same statement, I don't say that if you choose to. It's more of like when you know you have
when
to.
You have to.
Yes. You best make sure that whomever internal or external resource you're using really knows what they're doing. And there's a lot of interesting tech coming around in CSR and ESG, right? We talk about that quite a bit on this show, but there seems to be some interesting tech coming out in that sector too, especially around carbon neutral footprints.
You're absolutely right. So it's helping companies just be smarter with the data that they already have at their fingertips right. and really providing the insights for them to be more strategic inside the organization.
Exactly. And help them understand How do they position themselves with that? I think a lot of times we snicker. You read something like, oh, I can't remember which major car manufacturer it was, but they're like, we want to be carbon neutral by 2025. And I'm like, or 2050, I'm sorry. You sit there and go, how in the wide world are you going to do that? But it's going to be interesting. Obviously, they have a plan, but it's the technologies out there that are helping us make some of these assumptions and assertions. realizing that, and then realizing, I think that then is also another trend area that I see some, and we've had a few MBEs on this show that have some green industries and are able to help out with that. But I think there's a lot more that's going to be coming down the pipe in industries and products we don't even know about as of right now, when we're recording this show, that MBEs are going to be able to start getting into in the ESG portion of it. So I think that's going to be really fascinating to see develop.
Yeah, I am excited about it as well. Very much. So when you think about just, we talked at the beginning about just everything that's happening in the world. What do you think, how do you anticipate supplier diversity and initiatives really changing in an attempt to address some of those challenges? And I know we've talked about bringing things onshore, but what are you thinking in terms of like conferences? Or do you think that, because my thought is that supplier diversity professionals should be a little bit more intentional about the various conferences that they attend. I think the diversity ones are great, but really being thoughtful about, okay, sometimes we find suppliers that we can utilize. You know, I don't know the percentage of how many we end up meeting that we don't use, but finding more industry-specific suppliers and going to some of those conferences and really being thoughtful about who you're connecting with. I think that's one of the biggest things that I hope to see in 2024.
I would love to see that too, and some serious conversations around this. It comes back to our favorite word on this show, and it's intentionality.
Intentionality.
Yes. I think the supplier diversity managers going to the supplier diversity shows is a great thing, right? Because where they sit in the organization, or where they sit in the organization, they should have a good 360 view of everything that their company is trying to source, right? And so going to a diverse show like an NMSDC or a WeBank or a USPAC makes a lot of sense to me for them to be there if they're doing their job right, because they're going to meet a variety of suppliers, right? Everything from physical plant to IT to advertising materials to marketing. They're going to see the gambit of suppliers, right? But a marketing person does not give a fig about IT professional services. Right. And an IT professional services person is not going to care anything about promotional products or lawn cutting. Nope, just not. Right. So having them, having the IT, the supplier diversity professionals being at those shows, I think is good on two reasons. One, they should have that 360 view. Two, as a supplier diversity manager, you're really there as a relationship kind of mitigator for the company, right? You are the conduit. You are the face of the company. Go represent, do a good job, bring back a ton of business cards. Great. Okay. But here's where I think we get into the nitty gritty and where we need to be doing a better job. And that is the supplier diversity people need to be really creating a mini subset, right? So supplier diversity light, maybe, of professionals who are going to other shows. Right. So this year I'm going to ProcureCon. And what am I doing? I'm speaking about supplier diversity. I am the director of global sourcing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we just collected
bringing the conversation there and then realizing
when you've got people going to other shows going, hey, let me just put this in your ear so you can talk about it. You can look for it. You can promote it. You can bring it back. Right. And arm those folks with that. So I think that it's not so much supplier diversity needs to go to ProcureCon as it is they need to be sitting down talking to their sourcing folks or procurement professionals who are going to those conferences and giving them kind of the 411 saying, hey, here's what we need. Here's what we're looking for. We really need to do more with veterans, more with LGBTQ. I need you to bring back some names.
Yeah.
They're like, fantastic. I'd love to. So I think we need to be much more intentional about that. You have people going to these conferences. Find out who they are. Find out which ones they're going to, because guess what? The diverse suppliers are going to them as well. Even if they're not certified, diverse owned businesses are still going to those conferences.
Yes, they are.
Again, it is that full orbed view, right? I can't just live in my little tower. I have to get out. I have to know what everybody else is doing. I have to have the conversations, and I have to tactically move the conversation from my program forward using other resources than myself and my small little supplier diversity team.
You absolutely do. And when you think about small businesses, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but for our new listeners, when we talk about these conferences, and if they haven't attended any, talk a little bit about what you think the value is for small businesses to attend these conferences and really capitalize on the opportunity of meeting face to face with some of these decision makers.
There are a lot of different things. First of all, if you go to a conference and you've never been to one, and or if you've never heard this show before and heard my opinion on this, if you go to an NMSDC, a WeBank, a US PAC, NGLCC, Novoba, I don't care who it is, and you go there thinking, I'm going to come away with two contracts, don't go. Do not waste your money. Don't go. A national show is not to get a contract. Okay. A national show is for you to meet buyers and supplier diversity professionals inside organizations that maybe one day in the future you'll do business with. Okay, now that we've level set that, the real value in conferences is not the trade show floor. I'll say it again. The trade show floor is not it, okay?
Definitely
not
it.
Go to the classes.
Yeah, go to the sessions, meet people, meet the panelists.
Please do.
Meet the attendees.
Do. Because I can't tell you how many times I go to a conference and I get 20 requests from suppliers like, hey, can we grab coffee? Hey, can we grab lunch? Blah, blah. During the conference time, I'm like, you spent like $1,300 to go to this thing. Don't you want to learn anything? And I think that's what we haven't done is we have so valued the relationship, which isn't bad, but we've devalued the education we can really get, right? The nuggets we can walk away with that could really help us grow our businesses, grow our thinking, expand our reach, right? And I just had a conversation with a protege of mine here in Atlanta. We had this exact same conversation, Chloe. And I said, stay away from the trade show floor. Walk it for 2 hours and then be done with the experience. I was like, because if you go and say you want to do work with, let's just pick a company here in Atlanta, Home Depot. Okay. And you go to this conference, you notice that a Home Depot rep is talking on some subject in some classroom, go to it. Go to it. Listen to what they have to say. Listen to the class. And then your follow-up is, hey, so I was in your panel when you were talking about such. And you made a great point when you said so. And I think this is wonderful. I would love to have a chance to further discuss this with you.
Great point.
Wow. That's a different conversation than what I usually get of, hi, I'm so-and-so. I sell X, Y, and Z. And I would love to talk to you about an opportunity doing business with you and your company. Bada, 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 bada. And I'm like, and delete.
Are you talking about intentionality again?
Am I? I guess I am. Yes. We go to these conferences and we're like, I'm just going to experience the conference. And then people get back and go, what did I spend $1,300 on? And I'm like, I hope you saw something in that city you were in because you didn't get anything out of the conference.
Yes.
We don't spend any time getting ready for them. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. And
corporates
just say,
too. I just want to say, I'm sorry. Corporates, you too. I'm looking at you too, corporates. Okay. When you go to a conference, please, for the love of everything, know why you're there and what you're doing. Thank you.
Yeah. I will say, yes, attend the sessions. And I think to your point, it's a great sales strategy and you will get some gems from it if it's something new. Now, you know, just the flip side of that is they've got to start putting on more thoughtful sessions because I have seen a rinse and repeat sort of theme at some of these conferences.
Yeah. No,
and so
I agree with you.
With that, I saw this same topic last year. It's just different. It may be even sometimes the same speakers. As a small business owner, I could see how they're like, well, listen, I want to meet with you because this is something that I feel like I have to attend this conference.
Right.
And it is a condensed way to meet a whole bunch of people if you're able to schedule some time.
It's absolutely fantastic. So again, if you're intentional in it, it works out really well for you. The other thing that I think a lot of my proteges have gotten out of conferences when I've talked to them and debriefed it is they don't feel like they're alone on an island. They're like, you know what? I saw other business owners that look like me, that think like me, that talk like me, that have my same background, and we're all faced with the same issue, and I don't feel so alone any longer. You know, and I think that's a huge thing. And I think that's a very big plus to conferences. Yeah, that they just don't take advantage of is that sense of community and building that sense of community.
Building that community.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. And I think oftentimes we miss that.
Yep.
And figuring out ways to facilitate that as the conference, but also creating ways, if you're a larger organization, hosting something, a happy hour, and inviting people and inviting both small businesses.
Yes. And don't leave that up to the suppliers to do that. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
These huge corporations need to be putting down their own happy hour to have people come and meet them. And I think groups that have industry verticals inside of them need to be leaning on the industry verticals to do more.
Absolutely.
Right. Like a financial services conference or a light industrial conference or a retail conference or a healthcare conference. You have the verticals. Use them.
You have the verticals.
Use them.
And maybe there's different sessions around. There's always like one around access to capital and talking about the different things, but maybe it's a little bit more detailed. A company that, let's say a Chase or Bank of America or a Truist, really talking about the various loan products and solutions that they have that are available to small businesses, as opposed to talking more broadly around, oh, these are your potential financing options.
Let me know what you could do specifically for me. I agree. We have only a few more minutes left on our show today, but just your prediction, reach into your crystal ball or put the envelope to your head if you're old enough to remember that reference. And what is your prediction for the most significant development that you think is going to happen in 2024 in our sector?
Honestly, I'm actually looking forward to seeing how AI transforms the industry, supports it, continues to uplift it, and make it easier for companies who historically haven't been able to make the investment in a full supplier diversity team, but have the desire, and being able to leverage technology to be able to bring economic inclusion to the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's a huge one. And I am looking forward to seeing how the NGOs react to the changes in the DE&I landscape, the advent of AI, and the tone and tenor attitude, if you will, towards supplier diversity right now. So I'll be fascinated to watch that unfold in this next year.
You know what I'm hoping to that point is that they start pushing back on some of these comments and that they then start saying, look, this is why supplier diversity is important, because you've just been seeing it just being bashed so much in the news, but there's no rebuttal.
Right.
There's no response to it.
None.
So I'm hoping that some of these groups...
Silence.
And I hope that somebody from one of these organizations, one of the presidents, comes up and speaks about this is why it's important. Companies that start to cut them, I think we should start making a list of these organizations that are cutting supplier diversity.
Yes.
So we as consumers and as shareholders, stakeholder, can all really understand what companies are we supporting with our dollar when they are actually not supporting us and our communities.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
I love it. We'll see. As this show unfolds throughout the year, we'll find out, won't we?
Yes, we will. Thank you so much for listening. And be sure to connect with us on LinkedIn at Adam Moore and Chloe Guidry Reed. If you've enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and check out our previous shows. Stay tuned for next time. Thank you for listening to Breaking Barriers, Building a Higher Ground. We are grateful for the time you spend with us in participating in these conversations. Please review and rate and share our show, as we are focused on growing awareness in the supply chain inclusion and supplier diversity space. If you'd like more information, please visit us at higherground.io. That's higherground.io. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to seeing you next week.